tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, it's time for us to get into our mental health chat. And today we're talking once again with Hanlie van der Westhuizen from the Vista Clinic. We're talking about psychosis once again. And today we want to focus on early intervention and why it even matters. Now, when it comes to psychosis, timing is everything. Like a fire alarm that saves a home from burning down, early intervention can drastically change the course of someone's life. And so today we unpack the power of catching it early. Hanlie, good morning and welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Bongi.
Thank you so much for joining us once again. Looking forward to this chat. Now, Hanlie, what does early intervention actually look like in psychosis cases?
Well, first of all, we need to identify that there's a problem. Mm-hmm. And once we identify that there's a problem, hopefully we can get to a specialized service where a proper diagnosis can be made. And that is what we call, referring the person to an early intervention service of psychosis. And then a comprehensive assessment should be made. That would basically be done by a psychiatrist for psychiatric medical evaluation, and then also a psychosocial assessment, identifying whether there's comorbid conditions such as anxiety or depression. Mm-hmm. And then after that, a personalized treatment plan would be compiled. And that would usually include pharmacotherapy, the use of antipsychotic medication if appropriate, usually at the lowest effective dose, and then a psychosocial intervention, which will include most probably CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, okay, and then also family psychoeducation and support, social skills training, and supported employment, and then if necessary, substance use counseling. Mm. We also like to build a trusting therapeutic relationship with the individual and the family and provide psychoeducation to reduce stigma and improve understanding of this matter.
All right. All right. And how can family members or friends recognize those early signs?
I think we touch a little bit on that, but the thing is that we should look definitely at behavioral signs. Very often we find that the person is socially withdrawing, mm-hmm, that avoiding family, friends, social activities, preferring to be alone. That is something that is notable. If there's changes in thinking or perception, unusual thoughts or beliefs such as suspiciousness or paranoia, mm-hmm, difficulty concentrating, maintaining focus, that is also, important. Mood and behavioral changes, agitation, irritability, emotional blunting. Mm-hmm. Very important is when there's an occupational decline, the person loses interest in hobbies, usual routines, and find it extremely difficult to perform at school or at work. Mm-hmm. Those are all things. Something else in terms of behavioral changes is very often there's a noticeable decline in personal hygiene or self-care.
Okay. Are you still there, Hanlie? Hanlie, are you still there?
I'm here, thank you.
All right, perfect. Sorry about that. Not sure what's happening with the network there, but glad we've got you back. So you were just speaking to us about the role of the family and the friends and how we can recognize early signs.
Yes, yes. I don't know if you heard that a rather noticeable sign is when there's a decline in personal hygiene or self-care.
Yes.
Actually something that's notable. And then also it's important that family and friends also look at the duration and the severity of these early signs. If the symptoms are persisting for weeks or worsening, that should really raise a concern. And it would be then very useful to get and consult a mental health professional promptly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. And then what are the outcomes for individuals who receive that early treatment?
Well, that is very, very important because if you receive early in the course of psychosis, there's a definite better symptom control outcome. Antipsychotics can quickly reduce hallucinations, delusions, and its organized thinking. And even if there is habitual thinking, CBT can help individuals understand their symptoms and fight against certain thought patterns and reduce the stress. Mm-hmm. There's also definitely improvement in functional outcomes. Early intervention supports maintaining your occupational and educational functioning, so there's less social withdrawal and isolation. There's a definite prevention of chronicity. It reduces the likelihood that symptoms become ingrained or resistant to treatment. So this is a huge one for me. It really decreases the risk of a long-term disability. Then there's also the issue of reduced hospitalizations. There's fewer emergency visits. And here, also important to think about hospitalization. Very often in the psychotic population, there's a risk for involuntary hospital admission, which is very traumatic, mm-hmm. both for the individual and the family involved. Okay. We also have, overall better prognosis, better cognitive, emotional outcomes. So there's really a greater chance of leading a productive, independent life for somebody who's early detected and can receive treatment early on.
Right, right. And what delays early intervention in most communities, do you think?
Yeah, this is a very important question. I think, yes, there's limited mental health resources. Mm-hmm. We do have a shortage of especially psychiatrists in our country. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that there's still underserved areas. And these are geographical barriers. And especially the rural areas have limited access to healthcare facilities and also financial barriers. There's poverty and lack of healthcare insurance, and this may really prevent timely access to mental health services. And then very important, I think, is that our current healthcare system are largely overburdened. And there's also a lack of coordinated pathways, especially when somebody is early detected and to get, correct referrals. And then something that's a biggie for me is the insufficient integration of mental health into primary care in South Africa. Okay. I do believe that there's a lack of training among primary care providers to recognize the early signs of psychosis. Okay. So that specifically in South Africa is a lack and something that we can perhaps address. And then those refer to systemic and structural challenges, but there's also, individual challenges, and those are mainly that we are still dealing with stigma. Mm-hmm. We are still dealing with the fact that some, cultural beliefs may interpret psychosis, as part of a spiritual or supernatural process. Yes. So for example, witchcraft or possession. Mm. And that's leading to alternative or traditional healing approaches rather than a scientific medical intervention. This boils down to lack of awareness and in my opinion, greatly to mental health stigma that remains prevalent.
All right. And how can we raise awareness about those early warning signs and help people get that early intervention?
I think it's important to do community education and outreach. And here we need to use, local languages and the narrative that is culturally relevant to people. That is important to conduct workshops, seminars, and community talks in a way that people can understand and relate to the narrative. Mm-hmm. We definitely should engage traditional and faith-based leaders and try to bridge the gap between the traditional beliefs and the scientific medical understanding. That is very important. I'm very pleased about this radio interview because we should use media platforms as well, television, social media, mobile technology to disseminate awareness messages. School-based programs, it would be great if mental health education can be integrated in school curricula. Mm-hmm. But then also on a more, political level, perhaps, we need to strengthen our healthcare work training, and we need to promote integration of mental health services into primary healthcare clinics for easier access. I'm not aware, for instance, of early intervention programs that are definitely running in South Africa. I believe that Wits University and UCT have some pilot programs linked to the university, but I'm not aware of any of those programs running at local clinics. And for that reason, I think it's important to advocate, policy advocacy for government policies to prioritize mental health awareness and these early detection programs, and maybe to have culturally sensitive campaigns and have funding for that, so that we can spread the word and help that people are educated.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for coming through once again, Hanley, and for sharing with us the importance of that early intervention. I trust that all our listeners have been made aware of the importance of that, and of course, making sure that we notice those early signs. Is there a way that we can notice those signs without necessarily becoming like hyper-vigilant or over-cautious and, attributing every little thing to psychosis, to possible psychosis?
Oh, I think psychosis is definitely a break with reality, as we mentioned on Monday. Mm-hmm. So it's not just an oddity. It's not just somebody acting eccentric. Okay. It's not just a teenager being lazy and not maybe focusing on personal hygiene like they should. You know, there's a definite break with reality. There's an oddity in the thinking and the belief structure, which makes one uncomfortable. And I think that is important. And then also families, friends, if you react to this problem without judgment, more with concern, and get the person to talk, the moment that the person share what is happening on the inside, that would make much easier make the distinction between, is this just odd behavior, or is this really psychotic behavior that we are dealing with?
All right. Well, thank you so much. Look forward to continuing on learning more about this condition. And until then, you take care.
Thanks so much, Bongi. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.